You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action in Goran Park. A very good card to look forward to there, which includes the Grade 2 Galmoy Hurdle and the Grade A Thyestes Handicap Chase. Real good card to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark. Very well, thank you.
Good man. What a card to look forward to. We've got Grade 2 Hurdle action and a real big handicap chase to look forward to as well.
Yeah, it's always a very... much sought after meeting this. Tells us a lot about where we stand with several of the bigger prospects for Cheltenham. Oh, yeah, we've got the Galmoy Hurdle. Thyestes Chase always throws up horses that are going to be plying their trade in good handicaps later on in the season, such as Cheltenham and, of course, Aintree itself with the Grand National. And we've got one or two actually interesting novice races as well, which will definitely tell us more, as the name suggests, in the 3:45. So, yeah, plenty to consider here today, Garen.
Yeah, certainly. Let's get stuck into it then. The first race this afternoon is the 12:55. We start with a hurdle over 2 miles and only three of them in the lineup, and a 1-12 favourite in the shape of Footpad. Jazz Ranger 7-1, 50-1 for Tags Island. I don't really suppose there's too much you can say about this. Andy, can you take on this Willie Mullins hot pot here?
No, it's a bit of a shame, really. The whole juvenile sort of category this season has been dominated by one horse. And we're waiting for something else to come through and throw down a marker. Obviously, Ivanich Gorbachev, at this stage of the season, ran about 7-2, 3-1, is about as short as I can remember for the four-year-old prize at the Cheltenham Festival, such was his performance at Leopardstown. But to be fair, the second-best race I've got on the clock is this race that Footpad was involved in. So I'm certainly going to be looking for him to turn in a spectacular performance, because I do quite rate the horse that beat Footpad that day from the same stable, actually, Apple's Jade. So that's the only thing really we can take out of the race. So we're looking for nothing more than a comfortable win from Footpad, which he should do, of course, and give that form line a timely boost.
Footpad friendly then in the opening race. The second race is the 125. This one is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Thankfully, it's a little bit more competitive, although we do have a very short Paris favourite here as well. Arcourt de Tour is the 4-6 market leader. 5-2 for Tamlow Boy. Manila Stamp is 6-1. 10-1 for Automated. Alamein is 16-1. And 20s or bigger for the others. Another Willie Mullins odds on favourite, Andy. Can you take this one on?
No, I can't really, no. He's been a little bit disappointing, I must admit, since he won his bumper. He's been very much well touted, and he's been running in some of the better bumper races to suggest that Willie thinks quite a bit of him. Obviously, he ran at Punchestown last year in the big race won by Balsell. He was a bit of a disappointment, and he was a big failure at Listowel over 2.5 miles. The thing with this horse is he's got a great engine, a real good cruising speed, but Ruby sometimes, I just think he's kidding the punters. He just kind of like he's holding on to nothing. Now, I think he might have just about won the other day at Ferry House when he tipped up at the last, but I don't think there was an absolute massive packet there. And I think that's why one of the reasons that Willie has decided, quite rightly as well in my opinion, to drop him back in trip, because I just don't think he gets 2.5 miles. So I think that this is a wise move to swing him back 4 furlongs. And he's certainly got a good cruising speed and he'll go through this ground no problem. If he's good enough to see off Tamlow Boy, then he should be able to win this race quite comfortably, because I only really see the two in it. It's a pretty weak maiden for the track standards. You know, there's no real big guns from other powerful stables other than these front two in the market. Apart from sort of Automated, who could be up to scratch if he can jump hurdles for the first time. He was quite a useful horse for Joe Lyons on the level. But, the ground's a major concern for him. So I'll stick with Arcourt de Tour. Whether I'd have absolute maximum faith in him to go in at a very, very skinny price is up to debate, but he's still the selection.
Right, on to the third race next. This is one of the big races of the afternoon. It's the Galmoy Hurdle, which is a Grade 2 over 3 miles. Alpha Des Obo heads the market at 11-8. 11-4 for Martello Tower. Briar Hill is 4-1. 11-2 for At Fisher's Cross. 12-1 for Noble Emperor. Some nice horses in here, Andy. And we'll start with the market leader, Alpha Des Obo, because he's got a string of seconds next to his name. He looks kind of frustrating, but the horses he bumped into, is this a good opportunity for him to get his head in front now?
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it looks between the two that contested that Christmas hurdle at Leopardstown over the on the four-day big meeting they have there. And it went the way of Prince of Scars, of course, as a bit of a shock winner. But Alpha Des Obo did absolutely nothing wrong in finishing second. It ultimately ended up being a bit of a tactical race, of course, when we lost Nalmeed's charge very, very early on. And it left Alpha Des Obo rather stranded and rowing his own boat for a long, long way. And he ended up just getting picked off in the latter stages by Gordon Elliott's charge. Certainly another good run by Maris Morris's six-year-old, who, as you said, has been a model of consistency throughout his career. You know, the runs beyond Arctic Fire and Nicholas Canyon stand up to the closest inspection. They're genuine Grade 1 performers. And going right-handed, he's certainly not going to bother as well. He hardly ever runs a bad race going anti-clockwise. Mind you, the same can be said for Martella Tower. If you look at Max Mullins's eight-year-old's record going right-handed, it's 4 wins in 4 starts. So even though there's 5.5 lengths between them at the Christmas meeting, I don't think it'll be as straightforward for Alpha Des Obo as it looks on paper, because Martella Tower, of course, probably needed the run that day. It's his opening run of the season. And, of course, we know that he stays extremely strongly, courtesy of that win in the Albert Barley at the Cheltenham Festival. So, like I said, I think this is going to be a decent matchup between the pair. I can't see any of the three being good enough. I'll stick with Alpha Des Obo, but again, another race I wouldn't absolutely have my life on.
Just leading towards Alpha Des Obo then in the 2 o'clock. The 2.35 is a Martinstown Opportunity Handicap Hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And the hat-trick seeking Ice Cool heads to the market and is 7-2 into 3-1 this morning. 9-2 for Paige Turner. Baroque Style is 5-1. 11-2 for Black Ice. 10-1 for Another Rattler. And 11-1 are bigger prices for the others. Who do you side with in the 2.35, Andy?
Well, having tipped and napped Ice Cool last time out, I'm prepared to stick with Val O'Brien's charge, and the belief that I still think he's capable of a good bit better than what he showed the last day. He rather scrambled home, which is a bit of a, you know, slightly disconcerting, really, considering he was an even money poke, you know, and he had plenty seemingly in hand. That said, I still think, you know, he's certainly better than his 101 rating at the moment. And, of course, being as it's a Martinstown opportunity race, i.e. for conditional jockeys, I think it's a massive advantage that Donna Myler, who's winning in his last two runs, retains the partnership here, whereas quite a few of these other jockeys in this race are not accustomed to riding a mount in public. So the fact that, that association is still intact, he goes on heavy ground, he's got a really good cruising speed, this horse, and a likeable attitude once he's off the bridle. I'm going to have to stick with Ice Cool until he's beaten. Hopefully it won't be today.
Ice Cool then for Andy in the 2.35. The 3.10 is the fifth race on the card. It's the feature race of the afternoon, the Thyestes Handicap Chase, a Grade A handicap event over 3 miles and 1 furlong. And Marla Beach heads the market 15-2 into 6-1 this morning. Bally Casey going the other way, 7-1 out to 15-2. Folsom Blue is 8-1, 10-1 for Rule the World and Uccello Conti. 12s for The Job is Right, 14s for Booker's Bridge, and a bit of money for that one as well. Did touch 20-1 earlier on today. 16s are bigger prices for the others. Competitive renewal of the race, Andy. 6-1 the field. Who would you side with in this year's Thyestes?
Well, I'm going to probably have a few stabs at the board here. My main selection would be Marla Beach. I've always been a massive fan of Gordon Elliott's eight-year-old. I think he's been a slight underachiever, and I don't mean that in a nasty way. I just, in the sense that conditions haven't quite been right for him at the very, very big meetings. When he was absolutely at his pomp for me a couple of years ago, when he won the Galmoy Hurdle, I thought this horse, you know, had the world at the tip of his fingers, really, to be honest, because had he got his conditions at the Cheltenham Festival that year, i.e. soft ground, I think he would have been a major player in the World Hurdle. Subsequently, he's gone over fences. They've rather ditched the hurdling campaign. And, you know, he's been a bit at sixes and sevens over the larger obstacles up until now. He's looked really impressive on certain occasions when he's jumped really cleanly. On other times when things haven't quite panned out well for him, i.e. when he finished fourth in the Topaz behind Don Polly, when he, I don't think he really jumped as well going left-handed as he does going right-handed. And when he fell at Thurley's on his seasonal reappearance, when he had a real crunching four, Luckily, he dusted himself down and he bounced back to something like his best the other day at Ascot. Unfortunately, he was up against a revitalised Royal Regatta, who, in the blinker's first time, turned in a career-best performance. I certainly think that was a much better effort by Gordon Elliott's charge. It was almost a case of Connections just looking to get him round, really, and get his confidence back, which I think he did. He's certainly very well handicapped on the pick of his hurdler form. I mean, he was a good 150-plus hurdler in his prime. And off a mark of 142 here, there's no doubt that he's got plenty of potential to win this race off his current mark. It's just whether he gets into a good rhythm. The others to mention are a couple of horses that do run this track particularly well. Lead the Light on. I noticed that Tom Segal's tipped this horse in the Racing Post this morning. Can certainly see where he's coming from with there. He ran a nice race over an adequate trip the other day at Limerick. He stays really well and he goes on heavy ground. And the other one to mention is Malt Gem as well. This horse has got a phenomenal record here at this track. He only ever run one bad race. For some reason, he just absolutely gets ignited when he comes to this course. And he absolutely bolted up two starts back. The only slight concern with him is the trip. All his best forms in and around the 2.5 miles mark. But to be fair, he is a 33-1 shot, so you are getting a little bit of value with him. So just a couple of outsiders, but the main choice would have to be go up Marlow Beach.
Marlow Beach, the main choice in the Thiestes then for Andy. Moving on to the penultimate race on the card at Goran Park, the 3:45. This one is a beginner's chase over 2.25 miles. Tell Us More is the 2-5 market leader. 11-4 for Marinero. Young Finnegan is 20s into 14s this morning. 20-1 for Busty Brown. 25-1 for Run for Firth and Backdoor Johnny. 33-1 or bigger prices for the others. So another short price favourite at Goran today, Andy. What do you make of Tell Us More?
Yeah, I'd probably give him another go, to be honest. I mean, the race he ran in first time up told us that he certainly jumped well enough, albeit he did go to his left a little bit on occasions. And he travelled really sweetly. Just for one reason, just didn't quite get home. Now, I think dropping him back in distance, albeit only a furlong, is not going to be a bad thing. He almost shapes like he wants 2 miles rather than he wants any further. Sometimes you get that, these point-to-point winners, that they win almost on default out because they're running against rubbish in the point-to-point field. But actually, when you run them under rules, you find that they have probably a little bit more speed than the Connections have accounted for. And I think that's going to be the case with this fella as his career goes on. His cruising speed is so high that if you keep trying to stretch it out and get him to get beyond 2.5 and up towards 3, I'm not necessarily convinced that that's going to be the way forward with this fella, but he is such a nice horse that hopefully he'll make his mark one day over the larger obstacles. He's got Monero, his ownership companion, to concern with here. This horse chased home Bonnie Kate, of course, who has got a bit of a squeak at a price in the Thiestes chase. That was at Ferry House over 2.5 miles, so there's no problems with his stamina, and he could be slightly dangerous to the favourite if Tell Us More doesn't come up to scratch. But it could be a good day for Willie Mullins. He's got plenty of short price favourites to look as though they should justify their position in the market, and this is very much one of them.
Tell Us More then, Frandy. In the 3:45, Willie Mullins has another short price favourite in the lucky last as well, the 4:20. We finish with a 2 mile bumper, and Avenir d'Envie is the 4-7 market leader, supported from 4-6 as well. 100-30 for New to This Town, 5-1 for Bellella Boy. 12-1 for the King of Rock and Roll, and 50s or bigger for the other two. So, similar story, Andy. Willie Mullins, odds on favourite. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a yawn fest for me today. I'd love to be able to come up with something else against these Mullins horses, but I think in the long term, if you do oppose them, you oppose them at your peril. And it has to be said, I was massively impressed with Avenir d'Envie the other day at Navan. It was impossible not to be hugely excited by that performance. In contrast, it was much better than his performance first time at Punchestown when he was a wild odd shot in what turned out to be a very, very hot bump. Of course, it went the way of our Duke, who lowered the colours of one of Willie Mullins's pile under pressure at Leopardstown on Sunday. That was over hurdles. I think he's a really lovely horse, by the way, Jessica Harrington's our Duke. The Potting Shed, of course, was sent off 6-4 favourite to win a bumper at Ascot. Unfortunately, the wheels came off, but it just shows you the kind of competition he was up against that day. He did get beat that far, however. That couldn't have necessarily been his running, and he was much better than the next day at Navan. He probably just needed the run first time out. I think he's probably won a minute. Willie Mullins actually was short of a gallop or two, the way he faded. But there was none of that the other day when he quickened up really smartly after travelling well, and that was very much like the performance that Connections expected first time out. He handled the ground well, and like I say, he showed a really good turn of foot. Didn't see that many horses in the way of you know, world beaters against him here. New to this town, won a fair enough race at Thurles the other day. Same comments apply to Bellelia Boy, but I do like this Mullins horse. I think he's half decent, and the stable have got a good record in the race as well.
Have an Aidan V then for Andy in the lucky last. As usual, Andy, let's just have a quick summary if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, it's very much another Willie Mullins benefit here today at Garvin. He should have at least two or three winners, maybe even all four, maybe even five, of course, if he takes the Thiestes. But Footpad looks a penalty kick in the first. And Court de Tour probably wouldn't have the same comments against him, bracketed against him, but he has got a touch of class, and I think the drop back in triple suit. It's a bit of a toss of the coin between Alfa de Zabar and Martel Atar in the 2 o'clock, but I'll stick with the former to beat the latter, as he did in the Christmas hurdle. In the 2:30, I'll stick with Ice Cool, who was a good winner last time out, and indeed the time before. The Thiestes, typically competitive handicap once again, but Marla Beach is definitely well handicapped. But do keep the eye on a couple of course specialists to the wards, the foot of the weights, leave the light on a Malt Gem. In 3:45, again, I'll stick with Willie Munns with Tellus Moore, who went well on his debut before, looking as though he just needed the outing. And Avenue de Nuit in the last should round off a day that is very much set up for another Willie Mullins bonanza.
Superb. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy Goran this afternoon.
Will do. Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.